Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Michelle.
Ah, you ready, girl?
Michelle,
yeah.
Yeah. Ooh,
say
woo. Breaking
up. We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care with love all through the land.
Well, good evening out there. It is Tiller Tuesday. How's everybody doing? I know you had a phenomenal day today. If you didn't have a good day today, you will have a better day tomorrow. And, you know, we talk about faith here. Whatever your faith may be, I'm going to say this all week. Those who overcome hardships through faith can bring forth incredible strength. They can truly become an ally to others who are suffering. You know, it's a lot going on out here. But we're going to bring it to you this evening. We have Miss Stephanie Haynes coming on with us, and she's going to be talking about Women's Health Month. This is Women's Health Month. Yay, yay, yay. And she'll be speaking about emotional and mental relations. Okay, get your pads and pencils out, because you know Stephanie's going to bring some information to you before she comes on. I'm just going to give you a reminder. Let's sing this song.
Naturally.
right. You can only be every woman when you keep your emotional and your mental intact and in balance. And we have Miss Stephanie Haynes on the line with us to share and care with you this evening. You know, it's 2:22, and it's all for you out there. Stephanie, good evening. How are you? Are you with us this evening?
Yes, good evening, Linda. How are you?
I am wonderful, and before we get started, you know, I put my appreciation and thanks out there to you. I know you had a wonderful day. I see your beautiful smile. I see it through your voice. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on and motivating us and educating us and sharing with us. So I'm just going to be quiet over here. Nope, I got one other thing to ask you. I know that your email is full from that wonderful event that happened on Friday night, Grown and Sexy. We want to know when the next event is coming and the title of it. That was an awesome event, a great experience. I spoke about it last night. I was sharing it with Tiffany for Mindful Monday, and I just know that they're just filling up your email box because it was awesome.
Oh, yes, it was a great event, and our next event is March the 18th.
Okay.
And the title of that event is called Being One with Your Womb.
Okay, being
one. Yeah, so we're going to talk with
okay.
your womb. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's going to end you know, speaking of how we hold trauma in that space. And then we're also going to talk about how to do self-examination of your womb.
Okay.
So the first 30 individuals that register and sign up will get a free kit.
Ooh.
On how to do self, to do self-examination of their womb.
Okay.
Of their fascinating space.
That's going to be exciting then.
Yeah.
We got to make some space for that. That sounds like it's going to. And you know, I like to be in that first 30 because I like getting those gifts. Love them.
Yes. So, yes. So, listeners, you know, listen out for the email and the registration. And Miss Linda, she will keep you abreast of that.
Yes, I will. Being one with your womb and self-examination through the trauma and understanding trauma. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good one because, you know, we all have to be one with our womb. That's a must.
Oh, yes. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about, so this month, you know, it's Love Month, and next month it's Women's Month. But before we go into our Women's Month, you know, and I want to talk about women in relationships, you know, in the emotional entanglement that we, you know, have in relationship with ourselves and also relationship with our mate. All right, so I'm going to get started here. So this tonight is going to be the first thing we're going to talk about is the emotional intelligence in the love and relationship.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about why, you know, the importance of the emotional intelligence and why it matters in the romantic relationships and how we can use it to strengthen our partnerships that increases our intimacy, to stay connected, and build a love that lasts. All right, so this is like a spinoff on what happened on Friday, right? You talked about intimacy with your embrace. All right. So how the emotional intelligence impacts relationships. It is the secret of lasting intimate relationship, largely because it makes us extremely aware of the changes, large or small, that can consistently occur in ourselves and others. Now, you have the sensitivity that each of us is always seeking in a significant relationship. Others, you know, might be automatically the sense through active awareness and empathy. Now, a little shift in the dynamics of your romance and the signals a need for action. We have the potential to attain the kind of love we all dream of, that deep intimacy, the mutual kindness, the real commitment, the soulful caring, simply because of empathy, our innate ability to share emotional experiences. But to reach the height of romance, we need all the skills of a high EQ. Sharp emotional awareness to avoid mistaking infatuations or lust for lasting love. Accepting to experience emotions that could harm a relationship if left to fester. Now, and a vigilant, active awareness to appraise us for what's working or what is not working. Now, building the emotional intelligence romantic relationship, we don't have to choose the wrong lover, end up in multiple failed marriages, or let the romance seep out of our long-term relationship. We don't have to let conflicting needs and wants to come between two people who love each other. We don't have to resign ourselves to boredom or bickering in our love life. We have the potential to attain the kind of love we all dream of. Deep intimacy and mutual kindness, real commitment, soulful caring, simply because of empathy and our innate ability to share emotional experience. But to achieve those relationship goals, we all need skills of the high EQ. Now, accepting to experience emotions that could harm a relationship if left to fester, and the vigilant, active awareness to appraise us of what working and what isn't. Now, fortunately, your EQ doesn't need to have peaked before you embark on love. In fact, for many people, falling in love serves as motivations of re-educating the heart. I'm going to read that again. In fact, for many people, falling in love serves as motivations for re-educating the heart. That's why some of the most deeply passionate lovers are in their 80s. You heard what I said? They were in their 80s. They discovered the too high EQs adds up to a romance that never stops growing, never loses excitement, and always strengthens them both, individually as well as collectively. Now, actively seek change in your relationship. When you ride out your fear of change, you discover that different does not necessarily mean worse. Things often come out better than ever on the far side of change. Relationships or orgasm themselves and by nature must change. Any relationships not nudged towards the kind of growth you want will drift into change of another kind. Maybe one you do not want. Your ability to embark change pays off in courage and optimism. Now ask yourself, does your lover need something new from you? Do you need to schedule some time to we evaluate together, or internal or external influence demanding a change in your respective role? Are you as happy as you used to be? Now, without an EQ, such as questions are often just too scary to face. So many lovers ignore signals of change until it's too late. Any questions there for Miss Linda?
No, I'm listening here and I'm writing. You know me over here. Nope, I like that idea about that change. To understand the difference, if it's working, if it's different, or is it worse? I like that. So I'm bullet pointing over here. I got them listed later.
All right. So now view the challenge you encounter as opportunities rather than problems. Your courage and optimism allow you to view dilemmas not as problems, but as challenging opportunities. How creative can the two of you be when you don't need to blame each other for your emotions? You're not controlled by negative emotional memories, and you're alert not to repeat the same old mistakes. When you have a high EQ, you liberate from ruts and resignations, and you can get down to the resourceful problem solving. You can meet differences between you and the unavoidable crisis as invitations to find each other, challenging to get closer and emerge individually and collectively stronger. Now, respect all the feelings you have for each other, which make, you know, about the person we love. But when it comes to emotion, it is necessary to accept them all. You don't feel energetic, clear-headed, and belligerent all the time. It doesn't really matter whether you coo like dove when you are together. Now, if the sex couldn't be better, but you're slipping at work, if you feel safe and cozy, hearing, "Hi, honey," when you come from home at night, but are having troubles getting up in the morning, something's not right. Even though everything feels warm and fuzzy in the castle, which is your home. Now, when this happens, all the information about you, your lover, and your relationship that your emotions and your intellect have gathered steer you to the best solution. Now, you might already have your pens and paper out, but I want you to take your pens and paper off for those who don't have them. And I want you to write down the 10 ways to love smart. Now, if you're new to the love or the new EQ, your course will be sure, or if you remember to stick to these tips. Number one. Let the three gods of well-being inform you about the romantic choice you make. Now, if you feel energetic, mentally clear, and more loving generally, you're in a relationship with a future. Number two, let your lover know what you feel. If you're going to communicate anything, express what you feel, as it defines who you are. If you pretend to be someone or something you're not, you'll never feel loved. Number three, listen from emotional experiences. Attune to your lover's feelings as you listen to his or her words. Number four, show the support and love that your lover needs. One person may find a suggestion or a helping hand useful or comforting. Another person may find the same action intrusive. Not everyone likes to be touched in the same way. Enjoy being affectionate in public or respond the same way to receiving gifts. Let empathy guide you. Number five, when you're in doubt, ask. Love doesn't grant that you know everything. If you don't ask how a lover feels about something, you never know. Number six, the relationship. Why do so many people believe their work is done once they found a true love? Relationships grow and they thrive with attention or wither or die of neglect. Learn from your lover. Active awareness keeps you from relying on past assumptions for emotional memories. Emotional reminders of past hurts are most dangerous with those we love today. Remember that the only problem with making mistakes is not admitting it. The complexities of relationships guarantee error, but every mistake are opportunities for growth if met without blame. That was number nine. Number 10, use change as an opportunity to grow your relationship. Any change is stressful, but it is also an opportunity to renew and revitalize your relationship. And that was number 10. Now, how do you know whether you are in love with a real person or just in love with love? If you've been burned before, how can you avoid repeating your mistake? Listen to your body, not your mind. We choose a mate for reasons that have to do more with what we think than how we feel. We conduct our relationship based on how things should be or have been. This is exactly where we go wrong. We don't lose at love because we let our emotions run away with us, but because we let our head run away with us. Now, people think they're in love for many reasons. Lust, infatuation, desire for security, status, or social acceptance. They think they've found true love because the current prospect fulfills some imagined or expectations, but unless they know how they feel, their choice is distinct to be wrong. Now, whatever your daydreams of a prospective lover takes the form of mental debates, justifying your choice or agonizing over it, your breath, relax, and focus. Focus to get out of your head and check in with your body. Now, if a feeling that something's wrong persists or grows, chances are your choice is probably wrong. Now, if you let mental images versus physical sensations guide you, you'll never know what you really want. Heed the messages from your entire body. For most people, it's hard to get clear signals from the whole body during new love because they're often drawn out by sexual desire, which is why it's important to notice others' more subtle feelings, the muscle tension, the migraine, the stomach pain, or a lack of energy could mean what you desire is not what you need, on the other hand. Now, if the glow of love is accompanied by an increase in energy and livelessness, this could be the real thing. If it's more than infatuation or lust, a benefit would be felt in the other parts of your life and in other relationships. Now ask yourself these high EQ questions. Number one, is this relationship energizing the totality of my life? For example, has my work improved? Am I taking better care of myself? Number two, is my head on straighter? Am I more focused, more creative, and responsible? Do my in-love feelings or beyond feeling positive, caring for my beloved? Do I feel more generous, more giving, and more empathy with friends, coworkers, or totally strangers? If the answers you get from your body aren't what you want to hear, try to push beyond the natural fear of loss with all experiences. Finding out now that you haven't found true love can spare you the pain of a pile of negative emotional memories, a legacy that can keep you repeating the same mistake or sour you on love altogether. Now take a chance on reaching out. Now we often on guard when someone new and would automatically build barriers to getting to know each other, leaving yourself open and vulnerable at this stage can be scary. Yet, it's the only way to find out if real love is possible between you and if you're each falling for real person or a facade. Try being the first to reach out. Reveal, you know, a secret. Laugh at yourself or show affection when it seems most frightening. The reaction, you know, set with you. Okay. You have any questions, Miss Linda?
No, I am just writing here. I'm looking at these high EQs and how to understand them from the energy and where is your focus? Actually, where are you? You know, how you feeling? You know, are you, I like that. That's a good awareness. You know, it's a good gauge and to reach out and be vulnerable. That is what a lot of people will not do. They hold back. They hold in. You know, I've held in. But you want to be open so that because when you open, others open. Yeah, this is some good stuff. Keep on up. Keep writing. No questions. Just echoing behind you.
Okay. So if so, you may have found an empathetic kindred soul. If not, you may have found someone with a low EQ and will have to decide how to respond to them. So what you need to feel love versus what you want. Now, to find the person who's really the one, know the difference between what you can't live without versus what you like. Now, the following exercises can help. All right, so this is an exercise for you. Now, you're still writing. And I want you to select 5 qualities or characteristics in descending order that feel most important to you in a lover. For example, he or she is neat, they're humorous, adventurous, considerate, emotionally open, they're athletic, they're attractive, stylish, protective, creative, conversational, they're smart, they're affectionate, they're monetarily successful, well-known, well-respected, popular, charismatic, paternal, spiritual, nurturing, and empowering. Now, these are some of the qualities or characteristics that you might want to have in your mate, or you might want to look for in your mate. Number 2. Now, as you consider each characteristic, ask yourself whether it's energized, calm, instills your emotionally, is the experience pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. A desire will be fleeting or rather superficial, while a need will register at a deep feeling level. Now I want you to do this exercise several times till you get an even clearer understanding of the differences between your desires and your felt need in love. You know, because, you know, infatuation is infatuation, but the real thing is the real thing. Now, does this person you think you're in love with fulfill these needs? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Now, responding to a low EQ romantic partner, we don't all grow emotionally muscles at the same rate. If you're ahead of the one you love, here are some high EQ ways to respond to a low EQ behavior and poor listener. Number 1, take time to consider the feelings as well as the words. Let me say that again. Take time to consider the feelings as well as the words that you want your partner to hear. If you're not clear about what you need and why you need it, your message may be mixed up. Select a time when you and your partner are not rushed or hassled. Take a walk together or make a date for brunch or dinner, or wash the alcohol if you want them to remember the discussion. Send "I feel" messages about your need. If you want your partner to hear that something is wrong with them, for example, "I feel like making love more than often, but I have this thing about the odor or the onions and garlic, so you will be willing to brush your teeth before coming to bed." Now, that's something you should do anyway, whether you have garlic or onion on your breath That's something, that's a prerequisite. Before you go to bed, you need to wash your face. I was going to say something else, but take a bath and brush your teeth. I mean, that's something, you know, you want to go to bed smelling, you know, fresh for your partner, right? So if your partner reacts defensively to the feelings you express, repeat their concerns. You're afraid that if I take this job, you and the kids will be neglected. Repeat your feelings. I feel messages. Then listen again. And the process until you're satisfied you have been heard. You know, because sometimes, you know, communication is two ways, right? It's listening and to have a conversation where the person is really listening to you. The person has to be able to summarize back to you what the other partner has said. And then you switch. And then you switch, and you do the same thing. That's called talking, listening. That's a technique where able to really, you're not butting in while the other individual is speaking. You're just listening. And then just summarize what that person said. Then that person knows that you has been listening to them. All right. So now we're going to talk about the partner conflicts matters to women's emotional health. You know, sometimes it's left unchecked. Relationship conflicts can be a source of an agent in pain. Now, relationship conflicts left unchecked, they can be festering source of agent in pain, dealt with appropriately and head on, they can be a source of growth and liberation. There is one thing we would all agree with. Relationship conflicts is never pleasant when we're in it in the midst. Now we're going to talk about conflicts. Conflicts more common than you think. Now this was a study done by Dr. Kinston. And this was in 2015, and she followed almost 3,000 Australian women for 21 years, starting with their pregnancy. It measures women's depression symptoms when they were pregnant, 6 months after they had their babies, and then again when their child was 5, 14, 21 years of age. Now, women go through a whole lot when we are carrying a child. And especially when that mother is not being supported by the mate. So it looks at many, many possible aspects of a woman's life that may affect their risk, including age, education, financial stature, factors related to their pregnancy, and also the psychological factors, including their partner's conflicts and how supported she felt. You know, among the women who have symptoms of depression at some point during those 21 years, 21%, which is 0.7%, indicated at the first pregnancy visit that they had a conflict in their partner's relationship. That is, they felt that they and their partner's pregnancy had complications conversations. They got on each other's nerves. They're rarely confiding each other. They rarely laugh together. They frequently disagree on a range of matters. Finance, religion, recreations, friends, sex. There's a lot of philosophies of life, ways of dealing with parents or in-laws, aims, goals, things, believed, important, major decisions, household tasks, career, and how and when to spend time together. That's a lot. In other words, it was just major blowouts, arguments that affect women. It was the daily tension. It was the lack of closeness and confining in one another. Mm. Now, the health. Now, we know that having an unresolved argument with our partners can absolutely wreck our day. It affects everything. Now, after a recent conflict, you know, with your spouse, you know, let me read that again. After a recent conflict with my spouse, I remember thinking that I could handle just about any form of stress or relationship conflict. It has a particularly distressing quality about it. Now, in the Australia study, the women who reported the most conflict in their relationship with their partners during pregnancy were over 4 times more likely to experience depression in the 21 years following their childbirth than women who had no relational conflict. You know, and I see that most women that have postpartum depression, mm-hmm. or those are ones that have not been supported in their pregnancy. Mm. Now, it didn't just affect their day, it affected their lives. Mm. And it wasn't just women with the highest amount of conflict who were affected. Those who said they had moderate levels of conflict had twice the chance of experiencing depression over the next 21 years than conflict-free women. Now, that is still a substantial risk. Who hasn't completed high school? Who had low income when their baby was born? Who has stress or anxiety in pregnancy? Who had pregnancy complications? And who had fewer friends and lost friends contact were more likely to experience depression too. Now, but having a lot of partners conflict was by far the biggest risk factor of women depression in that 21 stretch. Mm-hmm. That is very telling. Relationship conflicts matters to women's long-term emotional health. You know, I just want to say right there to any, you know, anyone there's expecting, having a, you know, pregnant now, and if any men is out there, have anyone out there, you know, pregnant, it's very important to have that support system, not only for the mother, but also for the unborn child. Because the unborn child feels everything that mother is feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, especially during the first trimester of that child development, it's very important to have that mother to feel supported, to feel needed and wanted and loved by their mate. And also by their family.
Yes.
You know, that's very important. Yeah, so we talked about, you know, women and pregnant, you know, the emotion that they go through, the emotions that in a relationship. And I think, you know, going into the month of March, which is actually, you know, the Women's History Month, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really feel that we as women really find ways to start building legacies for ourselves, for our families, you know, because we are so emotional beings where we get caught up in our emotions that we forget about the reason why we're really here on this earth. Mm. And how we can really build our relationship. You know, choosing the right partners for our life to help us to move forward with our goals and mission and purpose. You know, I remember Mary McLeod Bethune, which she's the founder of NCNW, which I am a member of and the first vice president of the View Park section. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I don't think not too many people probably know that she was married, but her husband really didn't support her. And she divorced him and went on with her life and built a legacy. You know, she built the first black college, you know. Can't think of the name of the college, Brookman College. And she also, you know, formed the first Black Nurses Association, you know. And she also was the founder of NCNW, women organizations inside NCNW. So NCNW is an organization of organizations. And these are strong black women organizations. And I think we have a building out in Washington, D.C. that sits in just from the White House. And we're the only black women organization that owned that building. And when she bought that building, she stated that she wants to know what's going on over there in the White House. And being a part of this organization really gives me an opportunity to do my mission and my purpose that I promised in 2010 that I will help young women and women to reach their highest potential.
Yes.
And that's my goal and that's my life work and that's what I do. And I want to leave you with, you know, talk about, you know, why are we so emotionally unavailable sometimes? Why we can't connect? And what keeps us? From really being emotional available. Because sometimes we put ourselves through so much stuff. Some of the stuff that, you know, we hold on to doesn't serve us any good.
None at all. Nothing. It's like removing, if I can interrupt, when you go through, it's like we talk about that scaffold, you know. A painter has a scaffold when he's painting. A builder has a scaffold when they're building a building. But once the work is done, once the item is complete, that scaffold moves away, right? And I always mm-hmm. have in mind about the scaffold, and someone made a statement, yeah, well, you have to move the scaffold in order to see the the finished product. No, you remove the scalpel because it's no longer needed. Because to mm-hmm. a painter, he already knows what the finished product is going to be. He is moving from within him. He already sees it. That's why he can put it on the canvas, right? And to a builder, he has his plans and architectural designs. So they already know. But the scalpel has to be removed. It has to go. It's no longer needed. That way you reveal. You reveal the item. You let go of the old, which was what you were working on, and you reveal the truth. Same thing with going through life. When you say people have to be careful, Stephanie, of the partners that they choose, I have no children. I mean, all the children in the universe belong to me. Of course, you know that, right? But when persons yeah. say, well, why? Why didn't you ever have any children? And I give them my answer, and they look very strange. The answer is because the mates that I had, I did not want them to father my child. They say, I've never heard of mm-hmm. that. No, you better be careful of how you mix those genes. You know, it was okay for me, but did I see in what I came up? You know, did I see what I was actually looking for? No. So you just cannot just connect in. You have to make sure that that blend is right. So I did want to mention that when you said you wanted to, you know, women and young women to reach their highest potential, and that is exactly what you do. Because ever since I've known you, that's the way we work, and that's what it's all about. And it's so hard to put, how can you say, you can't put that in a division or a department because each woman has a different potential. But you, as a specialist in your field and going through and reaching yours and climbing up, you can recognize just what area that you can guide them to because all of our potentials are totally different. So Anne's highest potential might be my lowest and vice versa, but you've been around long enough right. and you've dedicated so that you could see which one of those buttons to push, and that's why we admire you so. And we appreciate you so because we know what you are all about. And to come on and care and share with us and bring these things to us, how it's being done, is like a benefit. We're so appreciative. I'm glad that I know you, okay? I'm glad that you're in my life and we are totally connected in many, many ways, okay? We are here to do what we have to do. As a matter of fact, your encouragement and your information is fuel. You're like fuel for others, you know. It might not be but one or two words, but I'm hearing you. You are on your mission, and when you say persons are unavailable with themselves, they have no connection, that's a horrible feeling, okay? I don't have that problem, but I know persons who do. And once you understand what it really is, it helps you deal with them a little bit better. But it all comes with the heightened, what you say, the heightened EQ that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's functioning at its highest. I'm hearing what you're saying here. And to build a legacy. I know about Mary Methuen and many, many, many other organizations out there that stem off. You got some tough girls out there, okay? And that have been there, and what their basic mission is to help and each other reach their highest potential, whatever that might be. And you always go past your how can you say, a good mentor wants their mentee to surpass them. That's a good mentor. So they have put...
Yeah.
They want their mentee to surpass them. And when I mention the word mentor, I know you have those topics in the book, and that's what you know, go by. That mentorship is very, very good. And to the young ladies and adult ladies and everybody, always seek out good mentors because they're the ones that's going to fuel you up to keep moving forward. And the most important, never, ever forget them. Never. Don't get amnesia. with those persons that are trying to help you reach your highest potential. You're going to run into a lot of stuff. You'll run into things where they might pretend to be, but as you become aware, you know the real from the unreal. You'll be able to spot it. Your life will be able to tell you. But when you have mentors, you never forget those mentors. Never. Because they saw things and they helped you up and believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself. But that's where that skill lies. And you mentioned something earlier about having the skill to go in. You know, I got about 5 or 6 different pages over here. So I have to label them and highlight them. So, yeah, the skills are needed. But you have to have the skills in order to have acceptance. And that's of yourself and others, mm-hmm. too. This is very, very interesting. Does this move into, Stephanie, another segment? Or where are we going next week with this? Or how long will this go?
Okay. So next week I'll be talking about, you know, the enjoyment, the sadness, the fear, the anger, the disgust, and we're going to put them all together.
Oh, boy.
So these are different types of emotions.
Okay. Oh, wow. Enjoyment, sadness, anger, the fear. Fear is something else, but when you can recognize it's just fear, and pull out that sword and cut on through it, you'd be a happy camper, won't you? I wanted to, people say, well, everybody wants to be happy. I said, yeah. I said, everybody seeks happiness. I said, but you have those that seek it, say they want it, but they're not hungry. And I use that statement because happiness comes from an in-out sandwich, okay? And it depends on what you use on your sandwich. You know, some people like beef, some people like shrimp, you know, some people like tofu. It depends on how you make that sandwich. But when you're working with young adults, it's a little bit different because they're still seeking out there. They're seeking. But when you're working with older individuals, you have to sort of like pull back a little bit and understand the exceptions of your emotions, what you're getting, and you have to say, okay, I'm preparing this sandwich, and I'm serving this sandwich. This person here understands happiness, and what it will, you know, they've experienced it, right? They know how to get there. And this person here is trying to find it. So you don't drop either one of them. You continue. But the one that's not biting that sandwich, that means that they're not hungry for that happiness, right? So when you find mm-hmm. someone that's kind of like slacking back, then you have a tendency to lead toward the one that is hungry, that want to be. So, and that's with anything. Same thing with a mate. You know, like you say, understand the language. Listen, find out how are they coming. Let them know how you feel. See it and stay. Return it back to you because the communication is really important. When you have a mate that don't know how to communicate, that's a miserable situation, okay? It's miserable. Been there,
yes.
Done that. And you cannot change an individual. You cannot change another person. So it's up to you if you want to stay with that non-communicational relationship. Or have you understood your acceptance point that you need to move on? It's so much out here with emotions. It's so much out with feelings and emotions and all emotions do affect your mental. Period. Either in a good way or a bad way. As you started,
mm-hmm.
So this was an excellent topic. I'm glad that you're beginning the beginning, and then we're going to move on. Next week we'll talk about the joy, the sadness, the anger, and the fear. I am going to note down about March 18th for that next wonderful event, and why have you? I mean, it was so much fun. It was so family orientated, even though it was virtual, but it was like everybody was right there together. It was a wonderful event. Thank you for inviting. Thank you for making it available. And thank me for being there so I could find out about the fun, the goodness, the education, seeing it virtual. I cannot wait until things open up, and the things that you do and the things that are done will be out there so we can get that live there. So you can experience it, but it's nothing like having it right there where you're breathing it, sleeping it, eating it, tasting it. You see the smiles virtually, but it's nothing like feeling a smile. So it's going to get there, and I'm glad to know that you're out there moving it, taking care of your legacy, and pushing me toward mine. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Womb and The Healing of the Man. And get ready for March 18th. Get me as much information as you can so I can put it out there early. Because, you know, we have to remind, and then we have to remind. You know, people got a lot of stuff on their mind. So yes, that's all I have to say about this statement. Give us something to go out of here on, just a thought to hold us until next week.
Yes, I just want to say, women, you know, and if any men are listening, be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, speak into your, speak with your authentic voice.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And when you mention that, I'll end with that and go to the dictionary for those of you who don't quite understand. And there's a few people out there. Most people take authenticity as arrogance. It's not. Okay? But you have to understand why they feel that way, because they're not authentic with themselves. See, when you are authentic with you, then you recognize it in other people. Did I end that right? Does that make a lot of sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, there's a difference between arrogant and authenticity. But
yeah,
if someone don't, if you're an authentic person and you come in contact with individuals that read, and you see, it depends on those lens, if the glasses are dirty or not. You know, it depends on the lens of a person, how they see it, how they see it, how they're feeling, what they've gone through. But it's up to us, the persons that are trying to leave the legacies and guide everyone else, to rise above that and to understand that they wouldn't know any better. They would have to view it as arrogance, and nothing's really wrong with arrogance. But they wouldn't understand authenticity until they get authentic with themselves. And when they get to that point, then it'll all come full circle, won't it? I just had to put that out there. I just had to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got some titles I wear, because I'm dead to the point, the most authentic person that you will ever meet. Because being true to yourself brings nothing but absolute happiness, no matter what you're going through or what you have to go through, or whether that it brings it. And it just brings it. So that's my last statement to you, is helping us continue to evolve to the next level. That's what you do. That's what we're here for. Thank you for caring and sharing with us. And listeners, those of you who don't like the right, get a dictaphone, okay? Listen, because this is some good stuff coming to you. And sometimes it seeps in a little slow, but if you just stick with us, you'll be a walking typhoon from within. And that's what it's all about. Wouldn't you say, Stephanie Haynes, the healing of the womb and the healing of the man's heart and the caring and sharing lady? We appreciate you so much, Stephanie. Please have a wonderful evening. And again, she said, the last words, be true to yourself. And on that note, we're going to say good night, okay?
Good night, Miss Linda. Have a great evening.
Good night, Stephanie. Thank you, thank you, and enjoy your evening. Love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
It's been a while. I'm not who I was before. You look surprised. Your words don't burn me anymore. Been meaning to tell ya, but I guess it's clear to see. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. Can't be bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Careful with your ego, he's the one that we should blame. Had to grab my heart back, God knows something had to change. Thought that you'd be happy, I found the one thing I need. Why you mad? It's just a brand new kind of me. It took a long, long time to get here. A great, great girl try. It took one too many excuses, one too many lies. Don't be surprised, don't be surprised if I talk a little louder, if I speak up when you're wrong, if I walk a little taller. I've been under you too long. If you notice that I'm different, I'm taking personal things. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. It ain't bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Oh, it took a long time.
Thank you. the negative vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our ass. Wow. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
We won't kind of polish up.
Keep us down.
See, I'm down. stopping, no 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 stopping, there'll be no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, there'll be no, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.
Collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.